and the podcast audio is going. So now we can really get down to the funky stuff. All right. And folks are getting tuned in. You know, one of the first things I like to do, I put something new on the soundboard, dadgummit. I gosh darn did. Take it out. Oh, that thing does not move too fast.
It's a chance to do good for us boys in the hood. Just call us NWA, Neighbors with Appetizers.
I like that one. And it's always a classic here.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
All right. So now, Bill Cosby, right? Bill Cosby's in prison. He's a rapist and he's in prison, right? And I follow a lot of people that are black conservatives, all right? And I thought, you know, I should just go ahead and make a web post because you need more time. I have some show prep done, but it's going to take a few months. And I think Phoenix Khalida's going to end up wrapping it up because she's going to have way more time than what I have. But I figured I could make a little post because I can't do one on Neely Fuller and Francis Welsing yet. That's going to be a long one because you got to go through like over 20 hours of interview material and clip that shit up. That takes a goddamn while. But it's doable. Right? So these people actually think Bill Cosby is a victim of Me Too. Now, you tuning into this, you may have heard of black conservatives. And you're like, oh, yeah, fucking Ben Carson, right? Think black conservatives, you're like, oh, Sheriff fucking Joseph Clark, right? That fucking guy, black conservatives, it was another Ben, the one out of Florida that bumped out Alan Grayson in the Congress for a second there. Right? Like, guys, black conservatives. No, those are black Republicans. Those are black partisan hacks. All right, these people are black conservatives, and they're against white supremacy. And that's where the Bill Cosby shit comes in. So I'm really going to go straight off of this deal that I put up on winecellarmedia.com. And I need to bring this down so that I can see if anyone's commenting on the live joint. Ooh, this is not a fancy deal. All right. So again, they're not Republicans. But and they're actually not really partisan at all, right? And they don't really care for it. And a lot of that has to do with ignorance. Ignorance as in, like, they actually lack information. Like, a lot of these niggas, they're anti-voting. They say don't vote. If they're content creators, they tell their audience don't vote. And that's because they're not aware. They really don't think about shit like legislation, bills, amendments, school board members, city councils, etc., right? Fucking city ordinances, right? Like shit like you look like back in Brooklyn, New York, before it got gentrified, it was like a high misdemeanor to be urinating in public. Now it's like a warning. Hey kid, stop urinating in public after gentrification. Right? Like those things matter. Vote. Look at your city council. Know them niggas, vote on that shit. But these type of black conservatives, they don't do that. They're like voting does nothing. They don't know. So, you know, it's not okay, but okay. And so since 2011, and they also say don't vote unless there's very specific legislation only to black people. Tariq Nasheed harps on this the most, right? And they say only if it's for black people is the only time you fucking vote on anything if it's only legislation for black people. But since 2011, when I first started checking out this crowd via the Gus the Renegade Negro of the COWS program, and COWS is an acronym, COWS, Context of White Supremacy. I've been checking out his program. I never hear them articulate what this is. They just quote Neely Fuller Jr. and say, replace a system of injustice with a system of justice. Like, yeah, but exactly what legislation do you want in place that would create a system of justice? What amendments? You know, what redistribution? What, like, how would you create a system of justice? And they're not thinking about that. Lokes is just tuning in, checking the joint out. I'm talking about the black conservatives that are against white supremacy. So they're not partisan Republicans, but they're black and they're very conservative. And why I call them conservative? Because of social values that they hold and express, right? Like, they call, like, gay, queer, trans folks, they call these folks sexually confused. That's what they call that. They call it sexually confused, right? That's how they express their homophobia, you know? And, of course, Tariq Nasheed has more of that street nigga edge. So he says, like, he calls gay cis men moist. And he calls gay cis women studs. He doesn't think transgender exists. Tariq Nasheed is not a very learned man, all right? And they're also, again, like, why do I call them conservative? They're pro-capitalism. They're anti-choice. You know, of course they think feminism is a CIA conspiracy to break up the black family, which is just some shit they say. Because they just don't like that feminism is sort of a laundry list of progressive ideals under one umbrella term. Take a look in the archive chat space. Avery Loco said, confused. We need to do more research. They think that their research is their assumptions. You know, like, they're more likely to go by a hunch, which is common with conservative-minded people. Conservative people don't want to research. They're emotional. You know, let's keep it greasy. Conservative people are emotional. They go by their feelings. I feel like it's wrong, so it is. And these other people that are in my immediate family, neighborhood, workplace, school, community, they also feel like it's wrong. Yes, conservatives are very emotional people, and this particular set of black conservatives are very emotional. Some folks are just tuning in. We're moving forward, talking about these black conservatives against white supremacy and what their deal is with the Bill Cosby. And it's a little interesting thing I've been watching with some of these folks, right? So they're against all that. They also firmly believe in nature or spiritually assigned binary gender roles. That's very important to them. All right, now they have some primary figureheads. We said the names, right? Neely Fuller Jr. and the now-deceased Francis Cress Welsing. Folks may have heard me refer to Welsing as Wacky Welsing, because that was the first one of the figureheads I heard on a very old... She's been on Gus's program, The Cows, a lot. And, like, when I first heard her, and I was like, oh, this motherfucker's wacky. This is Wacky Welsing. But, continuing, now those are the two primary figureheads. Neely Fuller Jr., Francis Cress Welsing, now deceased. And, now there's a second tier. And, there are some nuances and subtle differences from, like, Jason Black to Tariq Nasheed to Boyce Watkins and the, and Gus T. Renegade. And his real name, that's not his name, right? His name, his real name is not out there, but he goes by this moniker, Gus T. Renegade. And you're like, what is that? Like Gusty? Like Gusty Wind? No, it's actually, he got it from that old movie. Remember that Klan movie? The Birth of a Nation, the first film shown in the White House, Birth of a Nation. And in that movie, it's about... a black man rapes a white woman and the Klan comes and avenges her. All right. They're very creative. And the black man that rapes the white woman in this film is named Gus the Renegade Negro. So that's where he got that. Gus T. Renegade. He's Gus the Renegade Negro. Right. He's very clever. Very, very clever man. And, like the nuances between them, like, Tariq Nasheed is like, he's the street nigga energy. He's the hustler. Like, he used to be a pimp, which, if you don't understand, pimp, I could best call that a capitalist that exploits, sex workers as the labor base, as what that is. Like a CEO of sex work. That's pimp. That's what Tariq Nasheed was doing. And that's the energy that he brings to the table, is that Los Angeles West Coast street nigga energy of an ex-pimp. Boyce Watkins, Very much on the classism. So was Jason Black. Boyce Watkins and Jason Black, very heavy on the classism. Jason Black, hyper-focused on his hatred for black women. Hyper-focused on it. You pretty much get the misogynoir with all these cats. Less with Gus. But Jason Black, I think he's the most hyper-focused on how much he hates black women. Is Jason Black. And and Gus T. Renegade, I think he's the next one to be like a main figurehead, like as far as like Neely Fuller Jr. and Francis Cress Welsing with this sect of black conservatives, because Gus T. Renegade is the most staunch within that crowd. He's the most respectable. He follows rules very tightly. He's very rule-based, even down to words. Certain words are not allowed on his program. On his radio show, the word fair is not allowed. You're not allowed to say that a stupid white person exists. Like, these are tight rules on him. I think he's definitely next up to be a figurehead of this sect of black conservatives. And they're loyal followers, right? These heads and their loyal followers, they are sorely displeased that Bill Cosby went to prison for being a rapist. As they are conservatives, preferred narrative trumps facts, right? Arbitrarily assigned correlation trumps a traceable series of chronologically separable events and stories. All right? Like what's reality that's there, that shit doesn't matter. Preferred narrative defeats all of that. So that's how the conservative mind works. All right? And testimony from other comedians, such as what was covered at uprocks.com, that doesn't matter. You know, even though comedians are a fairly tight-knit community, traveling comedians, they know each other, they get in good with each other, and they're not too fond of the outside world that should always be laughing at their jokes because we owe them a laugh, all right? And if they do hear it, they're going to call it racism, white supremacy. Like here, Patton Oswalt. Patton Oswalt was on a podcast called Make It Weird, and he was talking with Pete Holmes, and Cosby came up. This was back in like 2014. This was a while ago, and Oswalt said, "Oh, that's kind of always been a thing that comedians knew. Circles of comedians always knew that shit about Bill Cosby." Like, I think Patton Oswalt, his verbatim quote was, he said, "A rapey vibe." Always, and everyone always talked about that with Cosby, and then Bill Cosby started talking back about the shit, because now it's getting traction, you know, at this time in 2014, and Bill Cosby said people should fact check, and Patton Oswalt went on the Twitter and put up a tweet that we have linked to at winecellarmedia.com. He put up a tweet saying, "No, dude, no. The last thing you want people doing, Bill, is fact-checking." And that tweet stood the test of time. The last thing you wanted people doing was fact-checking. All right? Now, these black conservatives, this particular sect of black conservatives, they don't care that in 2006, he paid over $3 million to make a case go away and it's documented in outlets like The Guardian, and I have a link from it and an excerpt from The Guardian. Bill Cosby paid $3.4 million to buy the silence of a young woman he had previously drugged and then sexually assaulted. A prosecutor alleged on Monday, as the comedian's retrial got underway in Pennsylvania, in the first major courtroom drama of the hashtag MeToo era. It's like, this is, yeah, it's happening while the Me Too hashtag is active, but this is not a Me Too story. It's parallel, right? So, The Guardian continues. Kevin Steele, the district attorney for Cosby's home county of Montgomery, revealed a secret that he remained hidden for the past 12 years. The amount of money that the TV star, formerly known as America's Dad, was prepared to pay to keep his detractor quiet. The $3.4 million was allegedly paid in 2006 to Andrea Constant, a Canadian massage therapist, to bring to close a civil suit that had been brought against him, claiming he had persuaded her to take relaxant drugs before molesting her while she was unconscious. Now, why does that keep ending? There we go. All right. And that's an ending quote from the outlet, The Guardian. All right. It's winecellarmedia.com. I don't know. I see movement, but I don't know who's tuning in, who's tuning out, who's there. So we're just going to truck forward. All right. Now, back to my commentary. They don't care, right? Remember, they're conservatives. They don't care about facts. They don't care that the hashtag MeToo is actually from 2007, right? But it gained little to no traction then. Or they also don't care that it didn't really start up until 2007 fucking teen, all right? Now, and when it picked up, outlets like Ebony.com and democracynow.org cover it, where they have the original person that was that started out the Me Too. And I have those linked here at winecellarmedia.com. The post is already up. You can check it out. And so when you look at these times, right, 2004, accusation, no one really fucking knows about it. Because we're like, holy shit, Bush is back in office. That was the news of 2004. Bush is back in office, and he basically won on saying, we gotta invade, and gay people are bad, you know, so that went on. That was 2004. Then it's 2006. The big news is the same thing now. We gotta flip the house, all right? That's what's going on then. And 2006, the payoff. 2007, like around 2006 and 7, that's when shit like Twitter is just coming into existence and hashtags aren't even really popping like that. But that black woman started the hashtag MeToo in 2007. The Bill Cosby shit had already been accusation and paid off for silence already. All right. That shit already went down. All right. And they also don't care because they don't care about facts. They're conservative. They don't care that it was a shaky video from an amateur filmographer with a smart device uploaded in 2013 that actually brought awareness to Cosby being a rapist. They don't care that that there was no active hashtag MeToo conversation, let alone a movement. They don't care that the fellow comedian Hannibal Buress, of whom actually has the joke, of which Hannibal Buress is not a feminist. Hannibal Buress didn't come at Bill Cosby in the name of women's rights. Hannibal Buress has a joke about trying to take a woman home from a dance club, and she's starts talking about, you know, consent and slut shaming, and he's like, "Hey, it's not time to get on your feminist pedestal." That's one of Hannibal Buress's jokes. He talked about Cosby. Let's see why. Why did Hannibal Buress talk about Cosby? All right. Because because young performers, and this started in the 80s, right? Hannibal Buress was a little baby. This started in the 80s. Bill Cosby trying to make performers do clean comedy like him. Don't do all that cursing. Eddie Murphy has a whole bit about fucking Bill Cosby calling him on the telephone about that shit. And then Eddie Murphy turns around and calls Richard Pryor and asks him for advice on it. And Richard Pryor says, fuck him. All right? And that's the attitude. It's always been, in comedian circles, it's always been fuck Bill Cosby. And according to Patton Oswalt, there's always been a rapey vibe. All right? This shit ain't new with Bill Cosby. Now, Bill Cosby was a guest. I don't know if it was on the show or on a panel, but he was with comedian Jon Stewart. All right, and we also have the link to that, because we like to link to shit from WineCellarMedia.com. And Jon Stewart had just did a performance, and Bill Cosby's trying to lecture him live on the fucking air on some, you gotta do clean shit like me. Fuck you, Billy. All right, so he's wolfing that shit at Jon Stewart, and Hannibal Buress caught wind of that, and niggas already didn't like Bill Cosby running around talking to pull your pants up while he's not pulling his pants up. You know, Hannibal Buress already doesn't like that shit, and Bill Cosby talking about, you deserve to get shot for stealing pound cake, talking that old bullshit. So Hannibal Buress just started putting the fact that he's a known rapist in his act. But he wasn't recording a special or anything at the time. He was just out on the road performing in general, just doing his job. He's a comedian. He has to get up on stage and wow the crowd. And that just became a part of what he did. And somebody just happened to record it one time and upload it. And then it started catching some action. But they don't fucking care. And in the piece that I have up on WineCellarMedia.com, I have some screenshots and I have them linked. So, like, this is a linked screenshot on WineCellarMedia.com of a Facebook post by an individual that calls himself Ken Steele. And he is a regular caller on the Gus T. Renegade program, the COWS, the Context of White Supremacy program. He's a regular caller on that program. So I thought it'd be interesting to start following him on the privately owned social media and, you know, see what he talks about outside the program, because I find these conservatives interesting. And let's get hyperbolic. This is his post on the Facebooks. And the lynching of Cosby is complete. Happy now, you sick fucks. Lynching, you say? So apparently, going to prison for being a rapist is the same thing as getting strung up from a tree, maybe castrated, mutilated here and there, and maybe even set on fire. That's the same to Ken Steele. He's one of these conservatives. So again, Cosby's story, it's parallel to and clearly not a part of hashtag Me Too. It's fucking parallel, but they want it to be, because this particular strain of black conservatives, they don't like white supremacy. But further, they want it to be a part of Me Too because as conservatives, they don't believe victims by default. All right? Like, you're going to get cats that are more liberal leaning, more progressive leaning. They're going to be like, hey, let's listen to the victim. Let's believe the victim. You know, but conservatives, fuck no. Fuck no. Fuck the victim. No such thing. Didn't happen. Shouldn't have dressed like that. Shouldn't have been at that place at that time. Shouldn't have been at that place at all. I mean, when it got, like, you take conservatism to its logical conclusion with no checks, no balances, no pushback, and you've got a nation full of burkas. Fuck, burkas and no driving, right? And also, as conservatives, they oppose anything associated with the word feminist by default. And that's one thing I think with a lot of my fellow black men on this. I don't think they actually like Bill Cosby that much, because Bill Cosby is not that fucking dope. Just keep in mind, like, Bill Cosby, as an old comedian, he's like an old school rapper. It was easy to get big and successful as an old school rapper because there were barely any other rappers. With Bill Cosby, there were barely any other black comedians, let alone black comedians. Like, nigga, big fish, small pond thing. Right? So, like, Bill Cosby's not that dope. I've seen clips from The Cosby Show. That shit's fucking boring. And not because it's old. There's old shit that's dope. I think there's an episode of that Jefferson's program that I watched. I stayed captivated through the whole fucking thing. It was a trans woman visibility episode. They were kind of progressive over there with the writing staff. And yeah, man, like, Bill Cosby's not that. I've seen his stand-up. Bill Cosby himself, I've seen his stand-up comedy. That that shit ain't that fucking ill. I'll take Bill Burr any day. You shitting me? I'd rather watch a Patton Oswalt joint. You know, the homegirl, Monique. I could have been your cellmate. Bill Cosby's fucking boring. But they latched onto it because, because it's opposing feminism. The feminists are saying it, therefore I have to oppose it. So now I have to pretend that Bill Cosby is the shit and that he has a net worth and cash on hand that would allow him to buy NBC. Yeah, niggas is full of shit. Right? And then, you know, keep in mind, they're also conspiracy minded. All right? Which I think, and you can get some conspiracy-minded folks, more left-leaning, liberal, progressive, but you're going to get it heavy with conservatives, especially because conservatives, again, they go with their emotions and they just freestyle. So it's more easy to be conspiracy-minded because you don't want to research. You just want to think your first thought is right when you're of a conservative mind, right? Like, look at how Fox News does it. Remember the video clip of Barack Obama doing a speech, and then he was and then Michelle came up to greet him on stage and they bumped fists, and Fox News played the clip and then said, a fist bump? A pound? A terrorist fist jab? Like, nigga, what? A terrorist fist jab. That's forever in my lexicon now. You know, but now this one, a linked screenshot of a Facebook, so you can, if you click the screenshot on the website, it will take you to the Facebook post. It's a public post by an individual named J.C. Lewis Jr. This is not a figurehead. This is one of the followers, right? Because we get examples of what the figureheads say. This is the kind of people that follow them. So now you remember that story of the white woman in the convenience store and a little 9-year-old black baby turned around and his backpack touched her. And so she called the cops and accused him of groping sexual assault. This is what J.C. Lewis Jr. put up as his commentary on it. Quote, liberal white woman accuses 9-year-old boy of groping her. According to the hashtag MeTooLunatics, the boy did it and he should be banned from elementary. End quote. That's what the like, really? So apparently, that was also a part of Me Too. So now that's just what they're doing. Me Too is feminist. White supremacy is bad. Like, these are the two thoughts they're holding in their head. So now, anything that we don't like that white supremacy did, we're going to blame that on feminism. If it's related to sex, sexual assault, sexual misconduct, soft language, we're just going to blame that on Me Too. If it's black and it's white, we're going to blame that on Me Too. That's what they're going to do now. Right? Now, now this one, we're actually gonna cover this video on a separate episode, but it's an individual, it's a Boyce Watkins, which he is a figurehead of these conservatives, and another individual named Cloud Anderson. I'm not very familiar with Cloud Anderson, but these are the pompous ones that love to talk money. They're obsessed with talking economics. And I'm watching their video where they're talking about hashtag Me Too, and I'm going to cover the video with Phoenix Kalita, but just want to give you a little bit of what they talked about on there. This is what this Cloud nigga was saying. The white man puts the white woman on the top of the social hierarchy and the black man at the bottom of the social hierarchy. And for the black man to be able to reach the white woman, his penis has to be very long to reach the top from the bottom, so that's why they castrated him on lynchings. Yeah. Now, he says way more words than that. It's like a 7 to 10 minute segment, but I want to wait and cover that with Phoenix Kalita. So, that, again, this is the kind of shit they say. And he just said it, and that was the Cloud nigga talking. That was Cloud Anderson talking, and it's on Boyce Watkins' program. And Boyce didn't say, dude, what the fuck? Did you just make that up now? And nigga, are you smoking expired cupcakes and having lean with mayonnaise in it? He didn't say that. He was just like, yeah, it's making a lot of sense. Making a lot of sense. And keep in mind, because like, as echo chambers tend to go, they only talk to each other. Now, He said that shit on purpose. Now, you'll find the Jason Black, if you dare care to look. I didn't bring up any Jason Black screenshots. But if you care to look, you'll find Jason Black saying that white people took this. What this is the idea he's pushing. He's saying that white people took Bill Cosby down, not because of Bill Cosby himself or anything he did, but because they hate the fictional character Cliff Huxtable. All right, now, if there has been some progress when it comes to white supremacy, when it comes to racism, racial bias, right, racial animus, if there has been some progress on that, why would they have even financed and allowed that character to exist in the first place if they were just going to wait about four decades later and put him in prison for it? That sounds like a poor plan. But this is the shit that Jason Black is pushing to his crowd. And like I said, and Tariq Nasheed, he's been saying that what Tariq Nasheed is saying is that Bill Cosby is symbolic. This is the verbatim quote. This is the phraseology that he regularly uses. He says that Bill Cosby represents one big nigga. That's right. That rickety old man represents one big nigga. And what Tariq Nasheed tells his audience is that Bill Cosby represents all black people. So symbolically, they're putting all black people in prison vicariously through Bill Cosby. He says this shit on purpose. He turns the microphone on first. He makes sure it's recording and says it. Why? Because your monetized echo chamber is gonna chomp it up. Because they're conspiracy-minded conservatives. They're emotional, not fact-based. They don't deal in fact-based facts. All right? All right, let's see if there's a little bit more there. And just a little bit about Francis Welsing. You know what? We can actually... Okay, there's a link. There's a link to the YouTube, so you can check out some of what Francis Cress Welsing says about sports. All right? Because, again, like, they have an obsession with black male genitals that I don't think white people actually have. I think that patriarchal white men might have, or like fetishizing white men might have, but for the most part, not thinking about our genitals nearly as much. Like Francis Welsing argues that in sports that have white balls, those are little balls to represent white men's balls. This is the shit that Francis Cress Welsing actually says on purpose. And the sports that have big balls are brown balls, the basketball, which is orange, and the football, which, and that's why they have to be in closed off echo chambers. You can't have me in the room while someone's saying that, because I'm going to say, but what about the fucking volleyball? The fuck are you talking about? You know, or what about the hockey puck? You know, but that's, again, they're not trying to make sense. They're trying to run a narrative that makes them feel comfortable. And something else that Francis Cress Welsing says on purpose, and these people eat it the fuck up. Francis Cress Welsing thinks that white people eat chocolate bars as a representation of consuming a black penis. Francis Cress Welsing takes this thought further and says that they put, you know, peanuts or cashews or whatever the fuck, you know, putting nuts in the chocolate bars to represent black nuts, black scrotum. And that represents like semen, consuming black penis and black semen. And then they give this stuff to each other on Valentine's Day. So what you're giving to your fellow white person that you love the most is a black penis and black semen and scrotum. This is the shit that Francis Cress Welsing says on purpose. And that's why any of my progressive, you know, homies that fuck with me that are familiar with her, when I say wacky Welsing, they chuckle and they get it. Wacky Welsing. All right. So I think that should be that. That's what's going on with those folks right now. Now, there is a partisan hack conservative that I am following as well. and did some Candace Owens, which is hard to do. What I want to do is catch Candace Owens' TV spots. Because, like, when they're doing speeches, that's just singing a song, right? Like, conservatives have a few songs that they like to sing, and Candace Owens is fairly decent at singing them. I still think Alex Jones is the best at it as far as singing conservative songs. And maybe I should give an example of what that is, right? Welfare's bad. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Like, these are the songs, right? Gay people are bad. Women are getting uppity. The Christians are under attack. Those are conservative songs that they like to hear sang. You know, like, at least with them niggas, the Democrats, like, they'll say some different shit. You know, they're at least with the times. They'll bring a fucking a rapper on stage. But Republicans, they've been saying the same shit since I was a goddamn child. Maybe they said something different before it. I'll have to check the archives on that one, buddy. All right, so that should be that. All right, so this is William J. Jackson. I want to come back hopefully this evening with Phoenix Kalita. She is busy right now. All right, and motherfuckers can keep this gosh darn thing alive, right? With paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Or hit it up with patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, and we can keep this shit alive again. Like, I actually, like, the Patreon comes in, and I turn around and pay the cable bill with that. And the cable bill includes the internet. Like, boom. Like, you're literally keeping the internet on in this motherfucker with that shit. All right? And also here, my book just came in. This one, podcast listeners, my bad. This is up for the video. This book that's showing up on the camera, The Elephant in My Bedroom by Brianna Monet. All right, Brianna Monet is somebody, she sent me a friend request on the Facebooks when one of my posts was getting some traction, and I was just looking down her timeline. I saw that she wrote books, so, you know, go on the Amazon and buy them shits and hold niggas down. You know, I recently linked to another one of Fallon Matthew, one of FallonKitty.com's books. You know, go, you know, cop these niggas shit, man. Hold it down with niggas. All right. So that will be that. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. All right. Podcast audio, you're still there? You didn't turn the podcast off yet, right? Okay, let's listen to this. all right, so this is Welsing with the brown ball and the white ball thing. All right.
Number one, I mean, the desire to be able to control black males, and in this instance, the quarterback, you know, being annoyed because he won't speak and respond as they might want him to. You know, in other words, if you are a victim of oppression, I have a right to tell you when to speak and when not to speak. And that part is interesting, but more interesting is the continuing importance of the symbol of ball games in the system of racism, white supremacy, and the whole idea that how much air pressure would be in a football, and, you know, so therefore the size of the football and all of the static and news reports.
All right, so she's talking about that shit where the I think it was the New England Patriotics, and they had the deflate gate. So she's talking about they're obsessed with the size of the football. All right. And she's going to tell you why. And this is because she's figured it out. She researched it somehow, but she's figured it out, buddy.
In news reports, I mean, for somebody who's not involved in football games and in a sense watching from the outside, at a certain level, it is just astounding, because, as I've said in my work, that the ball games, there are two series of ball games in the system of racism, white supremacy, large brown balls and small white balls. And those are symbols of, respective symbols of black male testicles and white male testicles. Black people didn't create these games, nor did they create the symbolism. The symbolism comes out of the brain computers of people who classify themselves as white and their struggle for survival on a planet where their genetic material is recessive compared to black genetic material.
You hear the shit she's saying, right? Just shit they assumed. Again, conservatives, they're emotional and conspiratorial,
which is dominant. And the whole idea that, you know, I mean, you can say that the game of football, like all the other ball games in a system of racism, white supremacy, they have black players in some of the games, but the games are basically controlled by people who classify themselves as white. And so that the brown ball is, first of all, it's larger than the white balls, but it has to be the right large size, and it cannot be under inflated. In my view, it's just fascinating, speaking to the real fundamental issues that reside in the system of racism, white supremacy, which I say is a system for white genetic survival, in a system to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth. So the white quarterback wants to have, or needs to be seen as having, a large brown ball testicle that he is in control of as that ball goes sailing through some white upright legs that are called goalposts, with white cheerleaders and white girls dancing on the side and a predominantly white male audience looking on in a position of being voyeurs.
You see? So, football, she fires the shit off, the audience takes it, and they run with it. All right? So that's the idea she's pushing there, that the white man needs giant black testicles, which that's the football, and the goalpost is white legs that you're gonna put your ball through because you have genetic recessive genes and this, I guess, that represents fertility of some sort. But she's also forgetting that it's probably not that significant, because that's the field goal. You're actually trying to make a touchdown. You're really just trying to run across grass. You're to run across a line, a boundary, a border. Like, if you want to get, like, I can be conspiratorial and symbolic too with shit, right? Football is liked because there is the brutality. There's the gladiatorness of it. But there's also the idea of invading someone else's borders and getting over their goal. The goalpost, that's 1 point after you got 6 points for running the touchdown. Or you can get a 3.1 if you didn't run a touchdown, but you're close enough to go for the kick. But, you know, wacky Welsing, man. Wacky fucking Welsing. Again, paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are.